Okay, everyone, welcome to the 100 Pounders meeting. My name is Leia, and I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting. Hi, everyone. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography or audio or visual recording is allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you're speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign the release, which is right up here by me. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Would someone please volunteer to read the 12 steps? And I have it up here if you need it. Do I have a volunteer to read?
Hi, I'm Loretta, compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out, or that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Okay. All right. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I'll share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by questions or open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is 100 pounders, and I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. So I'll do, five is great. Okay, thank you. Again, my name is Leia. I'm a compulsive overeater and 100 pounder. Hi, everybody. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. I just celebrated my third birthday in OA on January 3rd. Thank you. My top known weight is 311 pounds. I've lost about 122 pounds so far. And thank you. And that really is the least exciting part of program. The exciting part of program is that I'm sitting here sane, sober with my food, not locking myself in my room, telling myself I'm unlovable, unreasonable, you know, and that everyone around me was better than me because I was fat. So what it was like, you know, I don't want to spend too long on what it was like because the solution is in the action, right? Like I know that today, and today my life is much more interesting than it used to be. What it was like, it was awful. Truthfully, it was awful. And I had a very full life. I have a lot of friends. I've always been a social butterfly. I'm not shy. But I didn't have friends in the same way, meaning, you know, I would be outgoing and loving and kind, and I would be fun. I was always the fun one in the room, but I was fun so that you wouldn't notice that I was fat. I was nice so that you wouldn't look at me and say I was fat. I was a good friend because I was so much worse at everything else. Not because I just wanted to be these things. You know, I would show up and do service for people because I needed people to know how good I was, not because I cared and because it gave me a sense of pride. So yeah, it was miserable, and it was miserable both spiritually, emotionally, and it was also miserable physically. At 23 years old, I would walk with my best friends, who are all normies. We went on a trip to New York and DC, and I was walking around, and my ankles would swell because I was retaining water because I was so heavy. And that happened to my mother, who of course was in her 50s and very overweight. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this is not good. This is not good. I was always aware that I was heavy. I was a heavy kid my entire life. Everyone in my family is heavy. I come from a very big family, and we're all very big eaters. And I like to say, you know, they gave me the disease, but it's mine now. It's not because of anyone else. But my mom growing up was my biggest binge buddy. And I am a sugar addict. I have no stopping point. There is no dessert on this planet that I could eat one bite of. And so that is my abstinence today. I do not eat any kind of recreational sugar. I don't eat lookalikes. Sugar-free doesn't work for me. If it looks like a cake, it's a cake, and I will eat the entire cake. That's just my truth. I was a really, really diehard binge eater. And, you know, as social as I am, it's really, really sad. I didn't realize how lonely this disease made me, you know, like, I always thought because I was so social and because I had a lot of friends, I didn't think that I was, I didn't recognize that I was drawing the curtains, quite literally drawing the curtains, bringing a gallon of ice cream into my bedroom, closing the door, and then, you know, eating the entire thing and then hiding the evidence. That was my normal. And that was a Tuesday, you know, and then I would do it again on a Wednesday. Like, that really was my normal. That was my reality. So what brought me to the rooms? I'd lost 100 pounds previously. I'm really good at losing weight. I'm a professional. I'm good at losing weight. I'm even better at putting it back on. So I had lost 100 pounds previously. I had joined Richard Simmons. I was in Sweating to the Oldies 5. You can sweat with me, guys. And I wound up losing 100 pounds with him and through working out. But working out was my new obsession. It was my focus. It was everything. So, of course, what happened when my life got bigger, when my career changed, when I, you know, started going out and I started dating finally, my focus changed. And because I wasn't so focused on weight and losing weight and working out and whatever, of course, my plates got bigger. I never dropped sugar. So, you know, I used to buy a thing of fudgesicles, those sugar-free fudgesicles, but I would eat the entire box. And I did that in my weight loss. Like, that was a regular thing for me. So needless to say, the pounds came back on. Because I never gave up my alcoholic food before. So thank you. So the pounds came back on, and I wound up putting back on, I think, about 90 pounds. I don't really know, because I would stop weighing myself. And I was miserable. I was really unhappy. You know, the crappy thing about gaining and losing so much weight, you cannot hide it. I had a party for when I lost 100 pounds the first time. We had a big epic party in my friends group, and we went all over the city, and it was so much fun. And, you know, all of those friends would see me on a regular basis. And I remember going into the room and feeling like they can see. There's no hiding it. And I was so uncomfortable. And I'd promised myself the one thing was if weight came back on, I would love myself no matter what size body I was in. And I so love and admire people that can do that. I was so unhappy in my size body. I was so uncomfortable. It wasn't real for me. So I was putting on an act. So I wound up, because of this act, you know, I'm pretty good at it for a little while, but it dies after a while, and it gets really exhausting, and depression really took hold of me. And I wound up in therapy, and my therapist, and this is my first God shot. Is that she had asked me what I had for breakfast, because I said my stomach hurt. And I said, I ate a gallon of ice cream. And I had never told anyone about what I did with food. Really never. I didn't even know I was harboring secrets with it, by the way. I just never told anyone. And she was like, well, why did you do that? I was like, because it was breakfast. And she was like, have you ever heard of Overeaters Anonymous? And I was like, I had this image in my mind that I was not okay with. But I was also so willing to prove her wrong, and I was so willing to be happy that I was going to take whatever she suggested. And so I went that night. I went to a Wednesday night in Sherman Oaks. I went to the meeting that night. I had no bra on. I was in my pajamas, and I was there to prove that I didn't need to be there. And the first thing that happened was somebody came up to me and gave me a big hug. And I was like, whoa, I'm not wearing a bra. Why are you hugging me? I was so terrified. And somebody talked about eating out of the trash can. And I didn't laugh that time. Now I love laughter in the rooms, by the way. Laughter keeps me coming back, like identifying with the things that we've done with food that nobody else has ever even thought about. And I'm like, I crack up laughing because it's bizarre. I didn't laugh, but I was like, oh, my God, he just said he ate out of the trash can. Like, what? And so I kept coming back. And I came in at the end of December. It was my birthday, and it was, you know, the holidays and whatever. And I didn't know what I wanted, but I knew I wanted to be happy. And I knew that you guys were happier, and that, you know, I saw people with 100 pounds weight loss, and granted, they didn't eat things that I was like, how could I ever not eat sugar again? Oh my God. What if I, you know, what about my birthday? You know, it happened pretty organically. I kept raising my hand. I refused to be in the rooms and be a wallflower. I said, if I have to be here, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to ask questions. And I raised my hand and I would say, I don't know what the deuce you guys are talking about. Like, what are you talking about? I don't get it. Somebody pushed me into a sponsor and I worked with her, and she was wonderful. And she took me through the steps in a really kind and loving way. And slowly the weight started coming off. I do, for myself, I have a food plan that's 3 meals a day, an optional snack, and that works for me. I do not touch my alcoholic foods. One more time, I do not touch my alcoholic foods. It's not an option for me. I cannot be abstinent and be sane if I eat any kind of sugar, if I eat anything that looks like a dessert. So I don't, one day at a time, and now it's 3 years, and I could not even imagine coming in. I remember coming in the rooms and people talking about 7 years, 8 years, whatever, without eating sugar. And I was blown away. And I'll tell you, like, it wasn't easy at first. You know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy being really brutally honest about my food. That's the biggest thing. And it's still not easy being honest about my food, by the way. I don't like it. I don't like doing a 10th step. I don't like owning up to if I had nuts while I work on set. It's hard. It's really, really hard. I don't want people in my food. Get out. But I have to be willing, because I don't know best. I truly, truly do not know what's best for me. The only one that knows what's best for me is my higher power. Thank you. I hear that. And the only way I can hear my higher power is if I'm not in the food. I cannot hear clearly if I am thinking about what I'm going to eat next, if I'm thinking about when my next binge is, if I'm thinking about how I can lose another 5 pounds in 5 days. That is not God. My sponsor constantly says to me, where's God in this? Where's God in this? And when she says, I'm like, ugh, because I know she's right. Like, where is God in that thinking? Where's God in a late night snack? God isn't in a late night snack. So, you know, I have to bring God into everything I do. And I will say, you know, the God stuff really freaked me out when I first came in the rooms. I'm Jewish and I'm very ish. So I came in the rooms. I had a concept of God. I really liked the idea of God and I believe in God, but I didn't believe God could control my food or my eating. You know, people would keep saying things like, turn it over. I'm like, turn it over, like the covers? Like, I don't know what this means, you know? And how is God controlling what I put into my body? And it just took me time, and it took me a lot of patience, and it took me a lot of willingness. If I'm willing to follow directions, and I am so much better off, because left to my own devices, I'm back over 300 pounds. I'm closing my curtains. I'm shutting myself out and telling myself that I'm a piece of, I'm not going to say it because I'm being recorded. My sponsor will be really proud of that. But that's a life not beyond my wildest dreams. That's the life that I lived for 30 years. And I'm not willing to do that today. So I have to take it one day at a time. So one day at a time, what I'm doing to keep my abstinence, to keep my sobriety, I have to do the daily work. And daily work is really hard for me. I work in the entertainment industry. I'm on set a lot. And it only recently did I get out of the habit of, I usually go to 3 to 4 meetings a week. And it was the first time in my career and in my OA career that I could not get to meetings in person. And I'm a people person. I love looking all of you in the eye, and I love engaging and being of service. And it was fine at first. I actually realized first and foremost, like, you know, I get a lot of recovery in the meetings, but the meetings aren't what keeps me sober. You know, what keeps me sober and sane is actually doing the work. I got out of the habit of getting to meetings and being of service. And slowly I started not sending my 10th step. Slowly I stopped talking to my sponsor as much. Slowly, like, it happens really, really, really easily, like truly. And it's just one little thing. And it was very recently I was like one bite away from breaking my abstinence, you know? And it scared me. It really, really scared me. Scared me enough to call my sponsor and call myself out. It scared me enough to start sending my 10th step again. Because again, I don't, you know, I've been abstinent 3 years, but like 3 years is no time in the comparison of how long I was miserable and in the food. And that was, it was too long. You know, I missed out on a lot. I missed out on relationships, on dating. You know, I missed out on friendships. I missed out on trips. I missed out. I wouldn't go shopping with my friends because I was so scared to be the fat girl who couldn't shop with my friends. And actually, and my girlfriends are all normies, right? My best friends are all normies. And recently I had to get my new driver's license. And I was like, you guys, guess what? I'm under my fake driver's license weight. And they were all like, what? Like, why would you lie on your driver's license? And I was like, you guys don't lie. Oh, right. Right. You guys don't lie on your driver's license. So I was really excited to go to the DMV, actually. But it's things like that, you know, and going on shopping trips with them and trying on the same outfit that my tiny little nugget best friend tries on, and like being able to have these experiences. You know, it's not about being thinner. Like, I've gone from a size 22, 24. Today I'm a size 10. It's not about being thin. When I was younger and I would try and pray the fat away, that's all I wanted. All I wanted was to be skinny. That's all I want. And today it's really not about that. Today, it's about the fact that I'm really involved in my own life. You know, the fact that I have a career that I love and I get to show up for people and be really kind and loving to people. Thank you. I hear that. And I do it because it makes me feel good to make you feel good. I don't do it to impress upon the fact that I am so much more than just a fat girl. Like, I really get to live my life today, and that's all because, as a result of working the steps with my sponsor, of doing those daily practices, of eating my three meals a day, and, you know, and having an optional snack, and then a lot of life in between. My life is really, really good today, and it's all because of this program, and I think that's my time, yeah? So thank you for letting me share. Okay. The meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit to sharing, or you're sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This session will end at 2:55, and you come up and use the microphone, and then don't forget you are recorded, so you'll have to sign this afterwards. Who would like to share? Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi. I'm Dulce, and I'm a compulsive overeater and 100-pounder, and thank you so much. And I just need to share my experience, strength, and hope, because that's what I was told meetings were for, and that all my nonsense belonged on paper and with my sponsor. But I came in 1976, and I weighed 270, and it's 44 years later. I never left the rooms. I weigh between 128 and 132, and when it fluctuates and starts going that way, I get real nervous. But anyway, my sponsor and I talk 5 days a week, and I still weigh and measure my food most of the time, and not all the time like I did from different times when I was on really, really, really disciplined programs, which I needed to be because I needed to have that boot camp training, and I needed to know, and I need now to know where that first bite is. So I'm retired, was on film set for 30 years, and I learned that none of their food was mine. None. Sometimes I could go to the main catering truck that had salad and vegetables, but usually I always prepared my food because if I touched one of those things, I'm off and running. There's just something with something about it. And I brought my own food, and I guess I just want to share because I live in a town now that is not real strong. We have 4 to 8 people, sometimes abstinent. I did start the meeting there. We have a phone meeting once a week. I try to bring in speakers. But I don't have the strength because I was raised here in Los Angeles in the program. 30 years I lived here, and I got to go to those early meetings with Roseanne and with all the, what were we on? I can't remember the street now. But now I'm 76 years old, and I've never had to be obese for 40-some years. That's this program. But I needed to talk because I don't get to share too much. And where I am, I just get tired because I sponsor a lot of people and I'm in several programs. And as a result, I can't take the burden of new sponsees. So even if I, you know, it's just too hard. It's too many. Then I don't go to the gym. I don't take care of myself. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to throw the phone across the parking lot, which I've done before because I used to seem to attract a lot of people to sponsor. One time, 17, you guys. You know, sicko. And you know what? It kept me abstinent. So I just have to have a limit now. And I'm very grateful to be here, be abstinent, not be an obese person for all these years. And thank you all for my life.
Anybody else want to share?
Hi, I'm Leona. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm new to the program. I have 60 days of abstinence. This is my first convention, and your story so inspiring. I'm in the industry, too, and crafty is bad. And I have so much hope, and one of the first meetings I went to in San Diego was a 100-pounder meeting. The title caught my eye because that's what I need to lose, but the people just blew me away. I found my sponsor. I found hope at a time that I didn't think it could possibly exist. And I remember sobbing at whatever reading I was given. And I didn't, these words is like, I didn't understand how they knew all this about what I was feeling and what I was going through. And I sweated to the oldies with Richard since like sixth grade. And I went to one class at the gym and I thought that was Mecca. But I never stayed with anything, but I've been led here. I know God brought me here and my higher power's here every day. I have to talk to him and let him in and open that door that's been closed and hidden and secret and not wanting to stand up here, but telling myself to say thank you. Thank you to my sponsor. Thank you to all of you. Thank you to the program. Because I know I can be a present mom. I can be a present spouse. I know my future is so much brighter than my past. And without this, I wouldn't have the hope of that. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Jennifer, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jennifer.
I was 284 pounds when I first joined program, and I've lost 114 pounds. And one thing I wanted to share, because recently I was talking to another girl in program who's been struggling with resentment and so forth. And she's like, how do you not resent your higher power for making you different? And why is it that, you know, there are just some people that can eat normal food and just stop? And I'm like, because I'm in IT, I'm a tech person. And so it's, I look at people, they're just made different. Some people are made like a compute, like a Mac. Some people are made like a PC. Some people are made like an Android. You just have to have the right programming to make that computer work properly. That's the way I look at it. I know it's silly, but that way it's like, you know what? You're just different. Everybody is just different. You can't be resentful because God made you one way versus something else, because you don't know that that other person has it better. They just have it different. But that's definitely the thing that's gotten me through all this, is I'm just different. I just need different programming, which is what the OA is. My program has come into it. That's what 12 steps are. It's our program. It teaches us to deal with things in a different way. So anyway, that's all I got.
Hi, I'm Heather, compulsive overeater. Hi, Heather. Thank you for your share, and thank you to everyone who shared. What I wanted to share is that I've been in program since April 22nd of 2012, and I came in at 260 pounds and a size 26, and I gave up sugar, flour, and alcohol, and I went from 260, and I'm currently at 187, and I have to say that what I experienced in the last 2 years was this process of resentment for my higher power, and I didn't realize until it's like I dropped into a new level of honesty for what I was doing and why I feel hopeful now that I'm going to have more physical recovery. And it's so great to see people that have have more physical recovery than what I have. What I did was I was a good girl. I gave up sugar, flour, and alcohol for 6 years, and I'm working with sponsees, and I'm going to my meetings, and why do I not have the career that I want and the relationship that I want? And I wasn't even conscious of that character defect of selfishness, of, you know, literally like, give me what I want, until I hit another rock bottom. I never broke my abstinence. Thank God I held on to my program and to no sugar, no flour, no alcohol. But I was, you know, isolating, and I was in bed, and I wasn't living my life. And I got sick of that again and reached out desperately to program again. And I got honest with that part of me that's being selfish and dishonest, because I wasn't even aware of the fact that I was blaming God for me not having what I want in my life when I'm not getting out of bed to pursue it. So I'm so grateful that I held on and that I didn't return to sugar, flour, and alcohol, and that I'm able to be at the place where I am right now, which feels like when I first walked into program. And I'm hopeful for more spiritual and physical recovery. And it's such a blessing to be here. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Sorry about that. That's the feedback. Anyway. I've been in these rooms for about 15 years, and I came in about 250, 260. My lowest weight in these rooms, was at 167, which is not where I wanted to be, and relapse is part of my story. And I had to work my ass off in another program to round that corner, which I did. I now have 2 years abstinence. Thank you. And what I wanted to share with you is my experience, strength, and hope. And that is around weighing and measuring. To lose that basically first 100 pounds, I weighed and measured. And it took me 3-4 years to lose that weight. And I got I got comfortable with it. And I felt like I knew what I was doing and all this kind of stuff. And I stopped weighing and measuring. And because, you know, I know what half a cup of whatever looks like, right? But the truth is that when I'm confident and I feel good, I undereat, even if it's just a bit. Not anorexically, it's just like, oh, I'll have this amount of, because that's a half a cup. And when I'm feeling, you know, not good or having a tough time, I'll eat the half a cup that's this much. I hit a massive bottom a few years ago. I had a really bad accident on a soccer field and could hardly walk for about 6 months. And then I lost my job. And then my aunt died and things like that. And it really showed me that left to my own devices, i.e. not weighing and measuring, even though I never left program, the weight just comes back on. I ended up putting 40 pounds on in the last 5 years. It's now going back down. I've probably lost 10 or 20 in the last 6 months or more after having worked that other program. And now when I weigh and measure my food, it's amazing because when I eyeball what I've weighed and measured, oh, it's scary. Oh, that's not going to be enough. But one of my program buddies taught me a prayer that before she sits down, and she also is a 100-pounder. She came in at 300-some and is now easily her ideal weight. And the prayer is just simply, dear God, please let this be enough. And I pray that. I take that from her. And sure enough, it is. And I'm always surprised. Wow, I ate that and I'm not hungry. And the other thing that I do, and I'll wrap it up real quick, is I have written on a 3x5 card. I put it on the threshold of my kitchen. It just simply says 11th step. And I put another one on my fridge that says, breathe, pray, measure. Because if I don't, I know it sounds, but the truth is, without that prayer, I cannot weigh and measure. Without that prayer, I'm left to my own devices and I'm powerless. And I still, with all this recovery, 15 years, I cannot weigh, just simply freaking weigh and measure my food. What the heck? Well, you know what? That's why we have program. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Alan, a food addict. Thank you for your story. I came into OA. It's just over 30 years, November 89. My top physical weight was about 150 pounds heavier than I am now. And I've been, 150 pounds lighter for about 25 of the 30 years. And it's important. It's not 30 of the 30 because I've had a couple relapses in there. The most back-to-back I've had is 14 and a half. I currently have just over 5. And so what I just want to share a little bit about is relapse and how to catch it and stop it. What I've learned from having relapse is that food is the last thing to go, that there's relapse warning signs. And if you can catch them before it's the food, it can often be stopped. But if you're not, it can't. And one falls into the food category, which, is just like nudging food, pushing it, interesting restaurants, changing recipes, doing stuff like pushing it a little bit. And I use this term called expanding precedent. Like I push it a little bit. Oh, that worked. So that's now the new baseline. And then I push it another 50 calories or this or that. And all of a sudden, it's relapse. So, one is just constantly looking at that food and saying, where am I playing with my food? Just a little bit. And then pulling it back. The second is program. I do a lot of program. I have sponsees, meetings, tools, steps, prayer, meditation, exercises, this whole bunch of things I do. And if I start to pull back and do less, and, you know, again, you know, that starts that road, you know. And then there's life triggers. I've been through a divorce, losing a family with it, had a business that almost went through bankruptcy. Like, when big stuff happens, you know, you kind of, like, what do they say? If you're going through crisis, you need a crisis level program, and just kind of making sure I get the support. And then just other things where, like, I'm out of balance. So I just can't say enough for looking for these telltale signs in food and program as soon as you see them, and then getting the support, if you can't do it on your own, to pull it back to what's working. I kind of feel like the essence of recovery is finding a set of action plans or actions that move me toward abstinence, and then making them habits. You know, just doing what works over and over again. And the thing I'll share that's maybe helped me the most, I've done this my whole 30 years, or very close to it, is just taking the first three steps every day. A sponsor taught me how to do this. Step one is just playing in my brain my worst binges. You shared about ice cream. I can remember eating an entire half gallon of ice cream in maybe 20 minutes, opening up a second half gallon, but calling my sponsor in tears and taking, like, the hot water on the sink as she's talking me through melting the second half gallon, like, in tears, you know. And I need to remember that. I just need to remember that pain, because that motivates me. And then, you know, the second step for me is often, you'll see I have here, OA is my higher power. I'm not religious. But this fellowship, this group of people, somehow does something I can't. So just doing that, and then taking the third step. And just say briefly, I do that in the shower every day. When it hits, the water hits me, first thing I do is go into, you know, step 1-3 mode. So easy to do. And just, to me, it just grounds my life. Thanks.
My name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm also deaf, and I'm really grateful for the interpreters at this conference. It's been an eye-opening experience. How I classify myself as a 100-pounder is that my highest weight was 300. And I had really bad acid reflux. And instead of giving me a half wrap to deal with the acid reflux, they suggested a gastric bypass. I lost a lot of weight, down to 120. But the insanity was still there. 2 years later, I went into OA, but I didn't really get it. And then 2 years ago, I started going to work for the first time ever. All the time, but food at work was driving me crazy, and I started sponsoring people in the AA program. I'm in recovery for 8 years, and I knew I couldn't be helpful to my sponsors in the AA program if I'm still insane in other aspects of my life. And I was avoiding meetings at the same time because there's food at AA meetings. It was driving me crazy. Oh. So I was slowly withdrawn from my support system. So I knew I had to do something. So my highest weight out of the past 2 years was 180. And I knew I better do something. I will be 300 again. So I got in the 301, three meals a day, no snacking in between, unless if I work out a lot, then have a protein bar or a yogurt or whatever, and one day at a time. And I lost 53 pounds in 1 year. I can't lose anymore because I'm at where I am. But I'm still insane as of the emotional aspect of my life. I'm so grateful to be learning spiritual tools in this program to help me understand my alcoholic food. See it that way. Permanent abstinence with a higher power and carrying the message of hope to other people who suffer from the same malady. Thank you for my abstinence.
Thank you. I'm Anna, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, family. It's good to be here. Thank you so much for your story. My highest weight was 393, and I lost a total of 233 pounds at one time, but
the last few years, I have been struggling, and I've gained like between 50 and 60 of it back. And, you know, the only thing I do perfectly is I keep coming back. And I've been suffering with post-traumatic stress syndrome the last couple of years, and I've been dealing with that. But even while I was losing the weight, I knew I was white-knuckling it. And I remember thinking during the time, I'm thinking, this is going to backfire at some point, because I didn't know how, like somebody already said, I didn't know how God was going to stop me from going in a refrigerator. I didn't know how he was going to show me what to eat. But you know, he has in the last few years. He showed me what my abstinence needs to be. It needs to be a plate of food with, you know, and that's just for me, a plate of food with a protein, salad, veggie. And so I'm working on that, and, you know, I'm doing it perfectly imperfect. It's really hard when we're struggling with other issues and in therapy 4 times a month, you know. But we can do it because we got each other. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dory, and I'm a compulsive overeater. My top weight was 336 and a half, and I'll always remember that. And that was in 1997, and I've had ups and downs. I've had my relapses. I have probably lost thousands of pounds in my lifetime, thousands. And 100 pounds was just, you know, a drop of 100 pounds. And I'm hearing so many good things today. I'm hearing, I am a person, don't mess with my food. Don't ask me what I'm eating. I had a mother who used to say, should you be eating that? And nothing upsets me more, because I don't want people to comment on my food. It's my food. My abstinence today is no white flour, no sugar, and no Diet Coke. I'll tell you, Diet Coke was the hardest thing for me to give up. And somebody at the lunch table today brought 2 cans with them, and I just stared at it, and I salivated. And I've had 2 doctors tell me I had to stop drinking the Diet Coke, and I drank a ton of it. But right now I'm not at goal weight, but I have lost 150 pounds. And... you know, I'm working on the last. I'm struggling getting to my goal weight, because to me that will be really scary. So keeping the extra 20, 25 pounds on is just becoming pretty comfortable to me. But deep down inside, I really do want to get to my goal weight. And this program is the only program that helps me. I'm not doing this. My higher power is. I do not have the cravings I used to have. And I'm just amazed. I'm going through some medical things right now with my balance and my problem with my ear, and I fall a lot. And I don't feel good. And I used to always think that if I ate, that would make me feel better. And through this medical condition, I have an over 8, and that's just not me. In the past, I would really overeat. And I just want to say that this is my higher power who has taken the cravings away to me. So thank you.
I'm Katie T. from South Carolina. Hi. You know, there's really nothing special about us, don't you? We all want to be special. And hell, you know, if you've been 300 pounds, 290 pounds, 350 pounds, yeah, you're kind of special. But the truth is, somebody with 20 pounds overweight can be in just as much pain as I was at 350. I had graduated from Lane Bryant. I couldn't get clothes anymore in a regular fat store. I had to order them online. And, that's painful, and there's lots of other pain that we can experiences that we can share that other people maybe can't share with us, can't share in the same way with us. But at 350, I heard about Al Roker getting the bariatric surgery. 2 weeks later, I was on the table. They said, you know, there's a 2% chance you could die from this. I said, go for it, because I didn't want to live anymore like this, like that. I didn't. I would get up in the morning, and I would just start eating. People would talk about eating out of anger or eating out of, you know, fear or something. I didn't eat out of fear. I just ate. I ate all day long. All day long. You have to maintain a 350-pound weight. You got to be serious about this damn thing. And I took it very seriously. My first OA meeting was in the 70s, but I never ate and went to OA. I either went to OA or I ate. And my last out, I mean, I got down to 150 pounds, which is where I'm at now, after the bariatric surgery. And after a few years, I'd eaten my way back up to 230. I moved to South Carolina, and I found three really beautiful, strong meetings that were working this program in a way I'd never worked it before. And I got it. I am totally free from food obsession. I'm not attracted. I go to lunch at Cheesecake Factory with my daughter, and she has it in front of me, and I go up to the case, and I look in there and say, if I was having, I'd have that. But I don't feel an attraction to it, really. It's more like I'm a five-year-old in a toy store going, oh, Mommy, will you buy me that? You know, it's like, it's a whole different life. Yes, I'm pleased to have a normal-sized body. Yes, I'm pleased to not be obsessed with food. But you know what? I have a calm in my center that's come from these steps and from working these steps. And I had to get abstinent before I could work the steps in a way that served me and allowed God to serve me. And that was my path. I tried lots of times to work the steps while I was overeating, and it was like, hello? Didn't work. So anyway, I just want to say out loud, if there's anybody on the East Coast or Central who needs a sponsor, I have an opening for a sponsee.
Hi, family, again. I'm Leanne. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Norman, Oklahoma. And I came in 86, and I've never left OA. It took 3 years to lose. My top weight was around 235, down to a normal body size. And I about 175 or 180 really, like, plateaued for, I mean, a year. And this woman I was in another fellowship with said, you know, I see you carrying around your food and you weigh stuff, and why aren't you losing any weight? No, I didn't. I she got my attention. Sometimes I need that, you know, rake in the grass. And what I had to do was I was directed to make a list of things I was getting out of keeping the weight that I hadn't really told myself about. And one was men, of course. I've heard it called a sexual barrier weight. Before program, I would get down to 150 and then start back up again on a diet that by the time I got to OA, though, I made it on my last diet 11 days. And then I was just done. I just couldn't do it anymore. And that's right before I got to OA, not without investigating the, at that time they were doing the stomach stapling. And I actually passed the psych eval, which I was just delighted. And they were going to do this. And then someone put in front of me a liquid diet, Cambridge diet, some of you may remember. And I thought, well, that's drastic enough because I want to lose weight now. But anyway, so I made this list. It turned out to be about 25 things of why I was keeping the weight. Number one was my dad, who always tried to control my food. And anyone who has ever tried to control me in any way will find out that I will go the opposite direction, because that's, I don't submit. Don't submit till I'm like dying, and then I'll submit to God and a sponsor. But I didn't back then. And I remember telling the woman I was working with that if I lost weight and was a normal body size like he wanted me to be, he would win. That would mean he would win. He would have been right all these years. I wasn't going to join his side. And what I had to do, that real barrier, the number one thing, was looking at my resentment at my dad. And then I was going to have to let go of that and simultaneously change food plans from a 2,200 calorie a day hypoglycemic plan to a 1,500 calorie a day hypoglycemic plan, and put all my, just do that. You got to paint the barn to make the crops grow. You put the food over here and go paint the barn, which for me is working the 12 steps. If I'm out there messing with the food, I'm looking at the problem. But I go over here and I look at the solution, and the crop grows. Just go paint the barn. Do the steps. It's the steps. Action, action, action. And so anyway, I prayed a lot. I worked through it. I worked through it with my dad, who was still living. I started him on hug therapy. And I started just saying, I'm going to hug you, because he didn't do anything like that. Was that a timer? Am I? Oh, okay, I didn't know. Well, anyway, I just started hugging him, and then I worked in kissing, and like over the process of months, he like broke down. And eventually he had hurt me one time. I burst into tears, ran down in my office, and he came in my office, and for the first time in my ever that I can remember life, came in and went and put out his arms to hug me. But it took months of action, of just saying, I don't need anything from you, I'm just going to hug you, and wearing down that resentment in me, in my heart. So, sorry I went over. Please forgive.
It's time for one more.
Hi, I'm Susie. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, I'm so glad to be here. I came from San Francisco, and I love the fellowship there. It's been really great. I've been in program since 2008, and I'm definitely a century person. My top weight was 313 pounds, and I came into OA, and I lost. It was, I had a good losing abstinence for a while, and then I was, you know, my life got big, and you know, things take over. I had a relationship, and somebody moved in, and then they moved out eventually, and then I started doing that sneaky eating stuff, and actually it wasn't even sneaking because I was living alone. So, but, you know, I say that it's, you know, like because he moved out and I started, that's not really the reason. The reason was that, I don't know, I just stopped doing the work. I stopped, you know, going out more than staying home and taking inventories or doing whatever, and it just sort of like slowly eroded away. And then I just started not being honest with my sponsor and all of that good stuff that we can do. And so I guess cut to July 9th of 2019, I just finally had crossed over the line and I got honest with my sponsor and I recommitted my abstinence. And I have been working this program harder than I ever did back then. And it's been really amazing. I'm, you know, writing. I was doing like these lists of questions that I was answering every single day in writing. And I meditate twice a day. I go to 3 meetings a week. It's and I'm committing to my sponsor, my food, which has been really helpful. I'm just a very stubborn person, and I want to do everything my way. And my way was never about doing what somebody else is telling me to do, especially when it doesn't seem to make any sense. Like, really? You're telling somebody everything that you're eating? You know, my normies of my life don't understand this program at all, and I share a lot of that with them, but sometimes they're truly baffled and like, you really have to do that? Why do you have to do that? I'm like, you know, just I think you should be so grateful that you don't understand why I have to do that is the way that I say it. And yeah, so right now, I'm 10 pounds over my fake ID weight. It really makes me mad, but it's better than being 313 pounds over my fake, or you know, 100 pounds over my fake ID weight. And I had gotten down to the point where I was 25 pounds under that weight at some point. I had never gotten down below 200, but having been at over 300 and getting to 200, I felt like the hottest 200 pounder ever. And so, and I look at those pictures and I think, God, I look good. And why, you know, so, but that's not what it's about. I mean, really what it's about for me is being sane around my food, having a spiritual practice, filling that spiritual hole that got me to the point of being over 300 pounds. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Okay, it is now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who give service at this meeting. Thank you, Heather, for timing. Yay! Service! Okay, after a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the third step prayer.